And there we go, 7 minutes past 4 o'clock on a Thursday, the Rag and Bone Man dropping into the background, and we once again say good afternoon and welcome to Eamon Dowling from Tops at Lifestyle for the Wine of the Week show. Eamon!
How's it, Dave?
Yeah,
great to be here again.
Great to have you back. I was just mentioning that our attorney at law, Gavin Steinhobel, on Monday, with the weather being as it was, decided it was a great day to pop up and grab a bottle or two. And I recommended what we'd been discussing last week.
Oh, excellent.
It was a top hit. And, you know, I think more and more folk are beginning to realize that this Thursday afternoon is not just fun and games. It's serious suggestion for those that enjoy a good investment in
Dave.
Lifestyle. Yeah. So today, what do we have?
So today, Dave, we're going to be tasting the Sutherland Cab Sav, the 2000 vintage. It's a small holding, small farm, which the owner of Telema, Giles Webb, founded back in 2000. Giles was looking for another farm because he founded Telema back in the early 80s, and he was looking for another farm not far from where he is, stone's throw away, as we say. But it's in the Elgin Valley, and it was an old apple orchard.
Okay.
So around 7-8 kilometers from the Atlantic. And he said, let's plant vines, and opened up Sutherland. So Sutherland is...
How long does it take from the planting of vines to the harvest?
Dave, normally when you're planting vines, before you can see anything to come out from the vines, because they're small, so it takes around 7 years before you can basically harvest from them. So from harvest time, you're looking at, say, now we're in winter in the Cape, so the guys there will have finished all their pruning, or in the mid, some farms will be in the middle of it, some have finished it, and then come next month, starting say spring, they'll start to get little buds on them. Then the real farming starts then, because they've got to look after the foliage, how the leaves are going to develop on the vines, which way they're facing, which way the sun is going to eventually affect those grapes, those bunches, when they develop on the vines itself.
Do they remove some of them?
They do. They remove some of the...
Because if they let them all bud and develop, the whole crop would become small and insignificant.
Small, and they won't be getting what they're looking for.
Yeah.
They won't get looking for what they're looking for. They're looking for
so it's quality, very intensive farming.
Quantity.
I mean, you're talking literally managing every vine and inspecting it
by hand, Dave. Yeah, it's very intricate, and you need a steady hand in it, because you don't want to break the wrong shoots.
Yeah.
As well, you get the old shoots there, which they've already pruned, but then you'll get the new shoots that are developing for this year's vintages. What's going to develop on the vine.
It's interesting. I remember one of the winemakers that popped in here was saying, you know what, a grapevine is actually a weed. It grows. You think, oh, okay, because it's quite a delicate, but it grows, and apparently they grow very well. But you're quite right. It's in the management that the skill lies.
It's all that down to the viticulturist and basically the guys working on the farm itself. And then there's a lot of old-style farm, where they've gone back to, there's no very chemicals used. They use a lot of farms now have got animals, big cows, you know, those big long-eared cows, Ngunni cows, I think they call them.
Oh, yeah?
So a lot of farms have got those, and they use them in between the vines to eat the grass in between. And then
to fertilize, obviously, at the same time, by natural manure.
Natural manure.
Well,
right,
you
yeah.
see, this is it. I'm glad to hear that that's going back to the more organic and
a lot of
ecologically sound, sensitive farming.
Yeah, more sustainable, and then less chemicals in the wines, yeah. Dave, nowadays. If any chemicals in wine nowadays, except for commercial yeast that sometimes they might use to add to it.
And what do they talk about sulfur in wine? Where is the sulfur? Is that naturally occurring, or is it added?
Most of the wine has natural sulfurs in it, but if there's not enough there, they will add.
And that's what gives the monster a headache the next day.
Well, that's if you drink too much wine. But the thing with that, some people are allergic to sulfur, but there is remedies out there. There is other things, sulfadiene, that you can buy. We sell it in the store. You add one drop to your glass of wine, and it takes the sulfur out of the wine.
Oh, really? It doesn't affect the taste?
It doesn't affect the taste at all. But what a lot of people were doing, they were adding a drop to the bottle.
Ah.
So it's not to the bottle, it's to the glass. So you put it, it's like a little, don't for eye drops.
Yeah.
It's like a little bottle like that. And you put about one or two drops into your glass of wine, and that's it.
So it doesn't change the taste of the wine. It
doesn't take anything away from
just it. Just removes the sulfur.
Just takes the sulfur.
And hopefully the hangover.
Well, I don't know about that now. It depends on how many glasses you're going to have. If you drink the whole bottle.
Well, why don't we have a little musical interlude while you pop that cork, and we'll come back on the other side. And we'll let you know what the Sutherland Elgin Valley grown Cabernet Sauvignon 2020 varietal is all about. Here's Cool and the Gang. Dancing. So now we have just popped the Sutherland Cabernet Sauvignon 2020, and the description is as follows. It's vibrant, dark ruby in color. Absolutely is. This fruit-driven complex wine displays layers of dark berry fruit flavors and prominent cassis on the nose, which follow through onto the palate with the additional intrigue of spice. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Seamless tannins supported by the fruit intensity have combined to create a wine that provides a satisfying and lingering mouthfeel. Now, you know, I think what they've done there quite cleverly is they've alluded to the fact that there is definitely quite a strong lingering tannin there.
It is at the back of the palate. Yeah. It sits there.
Which may not be to everyone's taste because it is... I would hazard a guess that by pairing this wine with a good meat dish of some description, a roast or a good steak or it's
game,
absolutely, game. That would then change that tannin profile. And ultimately become a really satisfying drink. I would prefer this as a part of a meal.
Part to go with a meal.
Yeah,
definitely, Dave. To me now, I could drink that by itself. But to really appreciate it, as you said, with a steak or with a game dish or with some strong cheeses as well. Some strong cheeses will go nicely with that wine.
I have an idea. Because you're quite right. It's absolutely palatable. It's gorgeous. But I have an idea that the complexity would change substantially with a correct pairing.
I think
and then it would become exceptionally
accepting accepting wine. Yeah, it's too.
It's part of the magic of this kind of wine is that, you know, it's a drink. Sure, it is. Many would say, and especially in the European parlance, that it is in fact part of a good meal, and I would go along with that 100% in this case, that if you were to add a glass or two or bottle or two of Sutherland Cab Sauv 2020 to, we've just alluded to what it would compare with, it would change the experience of both the food and the wine.
And the wine itself.
All for the better.
Definitely. And I think maybe we just open it, maybe in an hour, half an hour's time, maybe it'll become a little bit more different.
You mean a little bit of breathing and oxygen flowing and that sort of stuff.
Let us soften it down a bit, because remember now we're drinking it 2020, so it's in that bottle for the last 4 years. So all that flavour, everything is, as we poured it into the glass there now, is just leaped out of it. So I give it another, say, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, it'll open up even more.
What is your feeling about the decanting? Because a lot of folks say it's a very good idea to decant a wine into something else, or possibly you get gizmos that aerate the wine.
There's a lot of people that use that. I'm not going to take away from it. Me personally, I won't, because I've spoken to some winemakers in the Cape over the years, and they just pour straight.
Uh-huh.
They just pour straight into the glass and says that's good enough for it.
Yeah. Okay.
But then again, it depends on the person and their taste. If they want to aerate the wine, it depends on what they want to taste. Especially in older wines, 10 years or 15 year older, those wines are going to be totally different to what we're tasting today. So,
well, there it is. Each to their own. I'm first one to say that you like what you like. Yeah. Can you improve what you... Well, you know, I reckon you could buy.
You can.
But maybe not with aerating, but just being sensitive to the fact that a good wine with a good dish to go with it becomes something quite different. It's
like a masterpiece.
Well, you can create masterpieces and make life experiences all the more wonderful.
Very true.
By combining correctly. And there isn't really a correct, it's just what works for you.
That's it.
I would suggest, what sort of price are we talking for this lovely Sutherland Cab Sauv 2020?
Dave, it's $179.99, so it's R180. So it's not bad. It's not badly priced. There is other cabs out there that are twice that price. But I think for what we're getting from Elgin and from Giles Webb, excellent winemaker, by the way, the 2020... I think it's perfect. I think it's priced very nicely at that price.
But there you go. And plenty of stock at Tops of Lifestyle.
Yes, we do have. We've got it as a feature story at the moment, with a feature farm story on one of our big displays at the Sutherland Farm. Just to let everybody know where it is, where it comes from, and what's happening at the farm, and who basically owns it.
And are you going to be doing a tasting at the weekend?
Yes, Saturday, Sunday, Dave. Our normal time, 12 to 2 on both days.
And I believe there's a new competition being launched soon.
Yes, we're starting from tomorrow, Dave. Okay. There's a big one coming along now. It's going to start from 16th of August and runs right through till the 18th of October. And it's a beautiful wooden liquor cabinet valued at $23,000.
Okay,
mechanics of the promotion now. Easy. Very easy, as all our other promotions that we do. Spend £350 or more. Write your name and phone number on the back of your tilsip and place it in the entry box behind the tails, and that's it. Simple as that.
You go buy a couple of bottles of the Sutherland Cabernet Sauvignon coming from Telema in the Elgin Valley, and you could well be the owner of a magnificent piece of, should we call it furniture, that adds to your lifestyle.
Yes,
substantially.
Exquisite, yes.
Yeah.
You just fill it with wine instead of with that normal gin and whiskey.
That would be Eamon's first choice. Well, you can do what you want with it. Yeah, it's yours to love once you've won it. So you've got to be in it to win it. There would be my recommendation. Pop along to Tops at Lifestyle. Buy what you like and enter the competition. You never know. You know, it just could have your number on it, and we'll be delighted to announce you as the winner in the weeks to come. Aaron, thanks again for a lovely Wine of the Week. Well,
thanks,
this
Dave.
Will go up as a podcast. I think it'll be featured again in our, well, as you, if you have subscribed to our Life and Style Edit, our fortnightly newsletter, you'll have noticed that they are including in each edition a Wine of the Week suggestion, and a great job they do of that as well, because it brings you a reminder of what we've discussed on the show, and hopefully it'll encourage you to pop along and taste for yourself and enjoy. Eamon, thanks. We'll catch up in a week's time for another
no problem.
Tops at Lifestyle.
Thanks, Dave.
Wine of the Week.